His mother swung round just as he closed the fridge door. "A tiny bit of what?" she asked. She often reacted late to things he said. "Nothing," he said, hiding the raw bit of meat in his hand. "Mum, could I borrow a tin plate?" "I haven't got such a thing." "Yes, you have, the one you bought Adiel to go camping." "That's in Adiel's room somewhere. I haven't got it." "A tiny bit of what?" But Omri was already on his way upstairs. Adiel was in his room, he would be, doing his homework. "What do you want?" he asked the second Omri crept in. "That plate, you know, your camping one." "Oh, that," said Adiel, going back to his French. "Well, can I have it?" "Yeah, I suppose so. It's over there somewhere." Omri found it eventually in an old knapsack, covered with disgusting bits of baked bean, dry and hard as cement. He hurried across to his own room. Whenever he'd been away from it for even a few minutes, he felt his heart beating in panic as he opened the door, for fear of what he might find, or not find. The burden of constant worry was beginning to wear him out. But all was as he had left it this time. Patrick was crouching near the seed tray. Little Bull was directing him to take the tops off several of the jars of poster paint, while he himself fashioned something almost too small to see. "It's a paintbrush," whispered Patrick. "He cut a bit off his own hair, and he's tying it to a scrap of wood he found, about the size of a big splinter." "Pour a bit of paint into the lid so he can reach to dip," said Omri. Meanwhile, he was scraping the dry beans off the plate with his nails. He took the fragment of firelighter and the privet twigs out of his pocket and arranged them in the centre of the plate. He washed the bit of meat in his bedside water glass. He'd had a wonderful idea for a spit to cook it on. From a flat box in which his first Meccano set had once been neatly laid out, but which was now in chaos, he took a rod, ready bent into a handle shape, and pushed this through the meat. Then, from small bits of Meccano, he quickly made a sort of stand for it to rest on, with legs each side of the fire, so that the meat hung over the middle of it. "Let's light it now," said Patrick, who was getting very excited again. "Little Bull, come and see your fire," said Omri. Little Bull looked up from his paints and then ran down the ramp, across the carpet, and vaulted onto the edge of the plate. Omri struck a match and lit the firelighter, which flared up at once with a bluish flame, engulfing the twigs and the meat at once. The twigs gave off a gratifying crackle while they lasted, but the firelighter gave off a very ungratifying stench, which made Little Bull wrinkle up his nose.
"Stink!" he cried. "Spoil meat!"
"No, it won't," Omri said. "Turn the handle of the spit, Little Bull." Evidently he wasn't much used to spits, but he soon got the hang of it. The chunk of steak turned and turned in the flame and soon lost its raw look and began to go grey and then brown. The good juicy smell of roasting beef began to compete with the reek of the firelighter.
"Mmm,"
said Little Bull appreciatively, turning the handle till the sweat ran off his face.
"Meat!"
He had thrown off his chief's cloak and his chest shone red. Patrick couldn't take his eyes off him.
"Please, Omri," he whispered. "Couldn't I have one? Couldn't I choose just one? A soldier or anything I liked, and make him come to life in your cupboard?"